Second Peter, if you will, chapter number 1. We're going to look at this evening about remembering. You have a good memory? I don't. Second Peter, chapter 1. A good memory. Remind me later. Remind me sometime. Peter says, if you will, jump down to verse 12 with me this evening. 2 Peter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. And, notice what he says, be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For why? We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Just a great reminder tonight to remember. We need to be reminded to remember. And I think about so many instances in my life when I've forgotten something. I have this reoccurring dream. I don't know if it's a dream or a nightmare. I don't know what it is. It's reoccurring to me. But that I'm in college. I don't know what this is, but I'm in college. And I get to a class, and the teacher says, okay, are you ready for the exam? Right, Miss Wilma, you know how that goes. And I say, I'm not ready. I had no idea there was an exam, and everyone was getting ready. They all knew the exam was ready, and I wasn't ready. And then I get out, and I'm messed up, and I don't know what to do, and I forgot my books. Just all this stuff's falling apart. And I've had this dream over and over. I don't know what it's about. And I keep forgetting in that dream to take care of the things I'm supposed to take care of. And suffice it to say, we need to remember. Now, we need to have our minds stirred to remember many things. We need to be mindful of the words that were spoken before, as he says, by the holy prophets, of the commandment of the apostles and others, and obviously of Jesus Christ. There are many things we must not forget. Now, there's a warning given in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So it's important. We need to understand not only to remember, but not to neglect, not to put aside. Now, I think it's very important for us to meet several times a week. And some people say, oh, that's tradition. And it is. I know that. As we've studied that before, and I've been asked that before, we know as we're studying in our Bible Institute, in the book of Acts, especially in those beginning chapters, that they met every day of the week. And that was a great revival, a great Pentecost. A great Pentecost had happened, a great revival was taking place. And I know that. But I think it's very important to meet together at least three times a week. Why? To be reminded of the things of God. You and I come together collectively to be reminded, right, of what God and His Word has said. So we must remember. Now notice what Peter says. He says, I will not be negligent. The duty, as I've said this before, and we went through, I did a message very similar to this out of this portion of Scripture, but he says, I won't be negligent. One of the duties that I have is to remind you. You already know this stuff, and that's what Peter says. You already know most of these things. Notice what he says, in of these things, though ye know them. And then he says, and be established in the present truth. So you're right with God. You're established in the present truth. You have an understanding of the Scriptures. You have an understanding of what God has given to us. You're right with the Lord. But if you're like me, we forget. Oh, how many verses I've memorized that I've forgotten. How many things I've been told to do and forget to do them. So we must understand this. I won't neglect, he says. He says, I'll go even further. Verse 13. Yea. We should use that word more often in our conversation, shouldn't we? Yea. I like that. I think it meet, he says, I think it's profitable for you. I think it's right to say, as long as I am in this tabernacle, he says, this body, to stir you up. I like that. Stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And that's what it does, doesn't it? When we're reminded of something, it should stir us up. Now, talking spiritually, you know that. And Peter says, I think it's meet. I think it's, in fact, I'll go a step further and say, while I'm still here on this earth, I'll remind you of what you should be doing. I'll remind you of many things, as you know, he goes through a list of things in the preceding verses about what we should add to. You ought to add to your faith. You ought to add to virtue. You ought to add to brotherly kindness and other things of this nature. And he brings this out for us. Now, again, I want to encourage you tonight and to stir you up for the things of God. We come back to the basics. And if you're like me, reading the Bible can get a little bit monotonous, can it? It's hard to read. How do we get stirred back up for that? Praying can get a little monotonous, a little boring, maybe a little repetitive. We tend to fall into a rut. If you're like me, again, I must reference myself, that you think about, you pray the same thing often, don't you? Kind of get a little bit dull. How do we get stirred up in that? Church, oh, church. I said last week, it's tough to come to church. It's tough. I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who exactly it was. Oh, there we go. See, I can't remember. And I didn't even plan on saying that, but somebody was saying, they go to this big church, and they got all this stuff. Oh, you know, you've been to a big church. I mean, they've got how many people in the choir, and they got all kinds of these people that can sing. And lamenting about, well, church is this, and our church ain't got this. And I wanted to stop them and say, well, you should come to our church. We don't got much. Praise God, we got the sweetest people in the world. And I've boasted to one pastor, I said, we got the best people in the world. I mean, we've got some amazing people. And they stay faithful. But I thought about, isn't that just like us, though, right? Isn't that like us? We get back to being stirred up about the basic things of our Christian life and our Christian walk. And sometimes we know that God may have to take something a little bit from us for us to appreciate it, doesn't he? He may have to do something to get us to appreciate it. It's not until your car breaks down and you have to walk to the gas station, you start appreciating maybe the car you drive. I don't know if you drive a nice car or not. Maybe a piece of junk. It's not until, right, you can't get up out of bed that you appreciate getting up out of bed. I got to get up again to get out of bed. It's not until these things happen, and for us, it's not, we know what it's like being without a building. We know what it's like meeting in your home. And we met in the gymnasium, remember that? And we met in the office space. We know what that's like. And we know what it's like not to be able to have a Sunday school because we didn't have any room and not be able to have certain things we wanted to do. Oh, and I'm just talking about tonight, it ought to stir us back up to think about all that God has done for us. We sang the song a little bit ago. You remember what it was like not to be in Christ. Now I belong to Jesus. Well, remember when you didn't belong to Him? You remember those lonely nights. You remember when you tried everything you could to find happiness and joy. You remember when you sought other means of pleasure. You remember those days when it seemed like there was nothing left. We ought to be stirred up occasionally. And Peter says, come back and listen to me. Come back and hear what I've got to say. Yeah, Peter, you're an old fella at this time. You're an elder now. You're someone of a statesman, if you want to call it that. You're at the end of your ministry and you're open. Peter says, I've got some stuff to tell you. I want to remind you of these things to stir you up. And my friends, we need more Christians tonight that are stirred up. We need more Christians tonight, not finding their stirring up or their excitement and pleasure in the bright lights and the fog and the rock music and all the stuff that's out there tonight. No, we don't need that. You stir up my feelings and emotions. No, we need to be stirred up with the ABCs of Christianity. Come on back home, right? Come on back. Come on back to good old-fashioned preaching, good old-fashioned hymn singing, good old-fashioned church. And that's what we understand. Now, we think about tonight, Peter brings forth to us a couple things. Number one, we need to focus. We need to focus. How do we remember? We focus, first of all. Paul earlier in Philippians, he says, this one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. That's Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. So, number one, we need to focus. This one thing I do, Paul says. I try to focus on that. One thing. Focus in on what's important. What clouds us out? What clouds out the things of God? What clouds out the Holy Spirit speaking to us? Again, is what? So many other things. The daily grind and other things that come at us. This one thing. Isn't it fascinating? I'm fascinated with how people progress in life. You see elderly men especially. They don't give a hoot, do they? They walk around. They're wearing shorts with, you know, big black socks and sandals. I mean, they walk. They don't care. I mean, they got some kind of Hawaiian shirt on and don't matter nothing. They don't care, right? I don't care what you think. You know, they're past that point. And more people should care, like myself, I guess, the way I look. But you think about that, right? You see the way they progress in that. They move forward to a stage where they say, you know, I'm not going to care what people think about me. I'm to a point where I've blocked out all of those things that maybe as a younger person hindered me from following the Lord or from following what I should do. As we talked a little bit this morning about the critics that come our way, you know, and when we focus on Christ, right, that's where we focus. Lord, help me to focus. Help me to get back to the things of God. Coming back to the ABCs of that. I heard a great football coach just recently of a very, very well-known football team. But they said, well, Coach, what did you tell the players in the locker room? What did you tell them? He said, let's go out and do the basics. And the reporter said, well, what do you mean? What else did you tell them? You know? He said, I told them simply this. That's all I told them. Come back and do the basics and we'll win the game. Do the basics. I thought about that. You know? I need to come back. Just do the basics. Come on back and get stirred up with the basic things. And Paul says, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Now, again, I have here. We need to make Christ supreme. You know that. Focus on pleasing Christ instead of the people around us. And learn to live one day at a time. One day at a time. As we look at that. Thinking through Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7. But particularly in Matthew 6, he talks about, what's he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. He gives us a great priority list, doesn't he? Each one of us, a priority list. But it comes back to one day at a time. You remember the old song, one day at a time, you know, really twangy. But you think about one day at a time, walking one step. Oh, I love the Psalms. But you know that Psalm 119, he says what? Let the word of God be a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. That's all it is. It doesn't say it's a big old beam. It doesn't say it's a big old floodlight. What's it say? It's a lamp under my feet. A lamp only shines so far, and it's just this, what, for the next step. For the next step. And you may know that or not know that, but back in that time period, they would literally tie a small lamp around their ankle as they're walking home at night so they can see where they're going. Why? So what? They just want to see the next step. The next step. And Jesus reminds us of the same. He says what? Come take my yoke upon you and walk with me step for step, one day at a time. Meaning just one thing I do, Paul says. I'm just keeping it focused and simple. We need to be diligent in what we do. He says, I do these things. Peter says, I want to stir you up so that you would what? Not only know, but you would do. He says, one day very shortly, I'm going to pass off this earth. This tabernacle will be gone in the ground, right? As the Lord showed me. Jesus Christ showed me. Now, you remember what he's referencing again, right? Remember Jesus told him? He says, Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. Peter, this is what's going to go on. And Peter in that moment didn't quite understand it, did it? Until he came to this point and stage in his life. And he goes, now I get it. I understand. Now, we know very shortly after he penned these letters, in particular 2 Peter, he was literally crucified upside down, wasn't he? He was tortured and crucified and all of the things that went on with that. But that's what he's talking about. I must leave this my tabernacle, right? After my, verse 15, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That takes the mark of a mature Christian. You're thinking about the people after you. You're thinking about the next generation. You're thinking about what we call our legacy, right? After my decease, after I'm dead and gone, the unique ability of a Christian, of a believer, is what? We're already thinking about the death day, aren't we? When other people out there in the world think it's so morbid and sick to think about. No, we're already thinking about that day at the moment of salvation. And for some of you getting saved as a teenager or a young person, you thought in that moment, far ahead, Lord willing, maybe 50, 60, 70 years later of the day that you'll pass. But that's what we do. We plan ahead for that day. And he says, after my decease, to have these things in remembrance. For why? We've not followed these fables. I'm telling you the truth, he says. And what we do to the next generation is tell them the truth, isn't it? The truth that we're not following fables. We're not following these cunningly devised fairy tales, as we've already studied that, but were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. May the people behind you, as you leave a legacy, know that you were an eyewitness to the work and ways of Christ. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Let the people behind you know with a surety that you are an eyewitness to the things of God, to the work, the way, the will of God. I don't know about Daddy, but I know one thing, boy. He knew Christ. I don't know about Grandma. I don't know about Mamaw, Papaw. But I know one thing. They were an eyewitness to Christ and His work. He did talk about it, as we said this morning. We're good talkers. Jesus says you're all lip service. You're all talk. And Isaiah said it very well, he says. Isaiah, particularly 29 in that region, that they draw nigh to me with their lips. Oh, Lord. Remember what Jesus said in the last day? Many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, it's me. He'll say, who are you? Well, it's me. You know, Joe Blow, I pastored that church over there. It's me. He says, I never knew you. Never knew you. Why? Because it was all lips. It was all lip service. And you think about it, as we understand this, Peter says, now listen, may the people behind you, may the people we leave behind, notice that, may they know that you are an eyewitness to the majesty of God, to the majesty of the Lord. He was an eyewitness to it. And he prayed, and Brother Tim prayed, and others prayed, and they saw God answer prayers. They were eyewitnesses to it. So we got to focus. Let me say secondly, we need to forget. We need to forget. Now both Peter and Paul talk about forgetting, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. To help us remember things we should remember, we need to forget some things. I don't know how our brains exactly work, but we need to take some stuff out to put some stuff in or recall some stuff. We need to put some stuff aside. We need to forget. Notice that. To help us remember. Now, can I say forget your failures and your sins? Forget those things. You pardon my French, you screwed up. You messed up. You weren't where you're supposed to be. You didn't do what you're supposed to. Yeah, you sinned. Maybe this past week you did something you knew you shouldn't have done. You said something, you watched something, you were involved with something, you maybe didn't do something like me that I should have done. Oh, think about that. Yeah, but just forget it. It's under the blood. If you've asked for forgiveness, Christ is forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? Forgive us. Forgive us. The proverb says, he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. We do a lot of confessing, but not a lot of forsaking. Do a lot of confessing of sin, but not getting rid of it. That's for me. Now forget. Forget those failures. God is merciful. He says in Hebrews 8, verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God forgets them. God forgets them. The bad part is that I keep reminding God of my sins, right? My past faults. Lord, you know I can't do that. I remember what I did. I know, I've forgiven you. Now, I don't understand all of that, the details of that. But God is forgotten. As far as the east is from the west, we know that, right? It is impossible to go back and redo it. Learn from our past, but do not waste time trying to relive it. It is impossible to go back and redo it, so forget it. It is impossible, or it is possible, to forgive yourself and go on. And again, trying to help folks, talking with a couple people in recent weeks about some of that. You need to forgive. You need to let it go, right? You need to just let it go. Yeah, but I can't. The people around me are just real. You need to let it go and handle yourself first. But notice, you can't go back and redo it. I'm talking about here forgetting it. Forget it. In order to remember, you need to forget some things. And Satan's so good at that, isn't he? Reminding us. He's so good at doing that. He's so good at taking us and reminding us of all that we've done wrong and how you can't do it and what you're not doing right and how that it ain't going to work out. Forget it. Forget it. Forget your offenses. Forget your victories. Pride defeats us more often than not. Humility will assure you of greater victories. We got to forget those things. Put them aside. Forget some of the things of the world. Oh, all of that.
The Israelites came in Numbers chapter 11 and says, we remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely. We remember the cucumbers and the melons. Remember the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They didn't even like garlic. Come on now. They're just bringing that stuff up for nothing, right? We remember, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna. Instead of thanking God for, Lord, thank you for not letting us starve to death, right? And the old quote, familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? You're familiar with something, you get, there's contempt. You start to disdain it. Ah, you know, I hate to reference, but often as I help a couple people in this regard of marriage, but familiarity, right? You get used to it. Same thing all the time. Same person all the time. Variety is a spice of life, isn't it? And we get sick of the same thing, same person all the time. And it can, if we're not careful, what breeds contempt. And we get frustrated, we get discouraged, we want something else, and man's eyes start to go wander somewhere else or something of that nature. That's what we come back to. That's what the Israelites did. Notice that. They thought back and said, you know what, in the world, we had it pretty good. But they forgot they were slaves. That's the highlighted part of it. And that's what we do, isn't it? I know I do that. Man, I had it pretty good back then. You forgot you were a, you know what? You forgot you were a fool. You forgot about all that stuff. Now notice what he says there. Forget. Let me say thirdly, and I must move on here. Remember God. Remember His Word. Okay, so we focus. We forget. Now let's remember. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is wandering constantly. Is that what it says? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. He trusteth in thee. You want perfect peace? Get your mind on Christ. Perfect peace. Stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed. Right? In him we find perfect peace and rest. I love that hymn. Remember God. Deuteronomy 8 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Don't forget him. Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that, what, forgot or forget God. America tonight has forgotten God. You wonder why so few people are in church tonight. You go back 75 years ago, there the percentage of people that were in a Sunday night service. I don't know what it is, but you have to assume, right? I mean, you remember growing up as a kid, right? Some of you in church. You went to church every Sunday, whether you liked it or not. You went to church every Sunday night if they had a service. You went to church on Wednesday. You had whatever was, mama and daddy made you go to church. Or maybe grandma and grandpa for you. That somebody in your life. You think about today. Why are we in the state we're in? We forgot God. We just forgot. Plain, plumb, forgot God. We neglected His Word. We neglected His house. We've neglected the prayer closet. And now we've forgotten God. Not where we should be, to say it lightly. I know I better not go there. I wanted to say that, Lord. Okay. You ever do that? Lord, I wanted to say that. Okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, don't. Okay, I apologize. Remember His commandments and do them. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, I just quoted, but He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments, His judgments, statutes, which I command thee this day. Don't forget. Oh, they bring joy to our hearts when we remember. They guide us during persecution. They protect us from false doctrine. Oh, we can go through a list of things. They encourage us when we're in danger. They give us life. I'm talking about the words of God. Come on back to it. Now notice, if you're still there in 2 Peter 1, notice down verse 19. For we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So a clarification in what we use this verse particularly as we defend the validity and the inspiration and the preservation of the Scriptures, right? We reference this. We also reference, again, 2 Timothy 3 and other places like that. But Peter points out to us very clearly the Word of God. The Word of God. What you have, he says to these Christians, he says is something that's true. What you have is something you can depend upon, you can build your family on, you can build your marriage on, you can build your business on. Whatever it is, it will not let you down. This Word, he says, has a more sure word of prophecy than what? Than being in the Holy Mount. Remember that? Eyewitnesses to that. Him and John and James up in the mount. And here comes the glory down. And there's Moses and Elijah. And Peter says, well, should we build tabernacles or booths for them? No. What's the voice from heaven say? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. The law and the prophets? No. Hear Jesus Christ. Hear him. And he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy than that. What could be more sure than that? The Word of God. The inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Bible that you have in your hands at this very moment. What a joy to have. I'm just saying tonight, we're stirred up. Remember. Remind me later. No, remind me now. To come back to what? I need the Word. The Word will stir you up. The Word will remind you. The Word will encourage you. Remember not only the Word, but remember His presence. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Isn't that a wonderful, detailed description of who God is? Psalm 103. He never leaves us. Never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's there in the storms, as we said this morning. He's there in the times of joy. He's there in the times of discouragement. He's there in the times of disobedience. One thing that gets me is that when I'm going the other direction from God, He's still with me, isn't He? When I'm walking away from the Lord in disobedience, He's still with me. He's still there. He's there to help me and bring me back. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll bring the conviction. He'll bring the chastening into your life to get you back, to get you back where we should be. Okay, several verses here that I won't go there. We remember His promised return. Let me say that. It keeps in light a stirring up when we remember His return. When we remember that He's coming back, what does it do? It stirs us up. It helps us from getting lazy and apathetic, right? It helps us from getting a little bit, Lord, this is so monotonous. I don't know if, what if He came back tonight? I always think about that. What if He came back tonight at about 10 o'clock? Just you laid down, shut your eyes, boom. I think you'd be glad you were in church, weren't you? Where were you tonight? I was in church, Lord. I was right where I was supposed to be. I was where you think about now tonight. Remember this. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. Again, there's a prepared place for a prepared person. We know Acts chapter 1. Why stand ye up or gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. You've seen Him go. He will come as at His appointed time. His appointed time. Peter goes on to say in chapter 3, 2 Peter 3. I think it's here in 9. Notice 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but what? All should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall be passed away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, notice this, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That means lifestyle and godliness. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now notice verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. He says, beware. He's coming back, right? Be aware. You want to be not found with spot. You want to be found in peace, not in turmoil, unrest, depression. Oh, but in peace and without spot. Unspotted, he says, by the world. Unspotted. Remember the promised return is instructions to occupy till he comes in Luke 19:13. Occupy till I come. That word occupy carries with it a busyness or a work about you, not just plopping down on the side of the highway in our occupation camps. Did you hear they're building one in there? They're going to build a giant one for all those folks. The mayor's putting something together, trying to build a big place for them to all gather together. That'll never work. Why? Because they hate each other. That's why they're out there separated. You put them all in a big camp, you're going to have all kinds of problems, man. Killing and homicides and, oh my goodness, can't imagine. Lord, help those people. But we think about, occupy till he comes. Do you have that understanding tonight of a remembrance? Lord, help me to remember. Help me. We receive the Lord's table out of what? Remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. We do it to remember, to think back. Lord, help me not to forget all that you have done. So the Lord implemented that into the church as one of the ordinances. Why? Because he knows we have a nasty habit of forgetting. Now, we would never forget the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. We know that. But if we set aside a time to remember it, it helps us even better. And you think about the remembrance given. I stir you up, he says, by putting you in remembrance. To sit down, and I want to encourage you this week to sit down and just think back and remember all that God has done for you. And think back and remember all how he has blessed you so richly and taken care of you and supplied all of your needs. How he's taken care, and you ever sit back maybe on your back porch or your front porch and look out and go, man, we're blessed. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We have so much. And people tonight that are in other countries that have nothing sit back on some stump somewhere and say, man, we're blessed. And I know it's all relative, but we're blessed. You think about all that God has done for you. Not only that, but my friends, tonight you hold in your hands a Bible, the very Word of God that he's given to us to help us to know him more and to know him better when many people don't have that. We have all the things that we have, and above all else, above our health and all else, we have our salvation in Christ. Don't ever forget, as we sang tonight, don't ever forget that. There was once a time when we were not with Christ, when I was not on his team, when I was not a part of him. And Ephesians 2, I was at enmity with Christ. I was literally an enemy of God. And Jesus Christ came and bridged that gap. If I put my faith and trust in him as the mediator, as the intercessor. Tonight, have you kept the focus? Have you forgotten? And have you remembered Christ and his word? Okay, I'll stop there this evening, but I thank you again for coming and being so faithful, all right? I hope that was a help, an encouragement to you. I try and encourage the best I can on Sunday evenings as we go out, kind of get our batteries recharged for the week ahead. And I hope it was a help, but pray for me. I know that you do, but continue to pray for me as I pray for each of you. I try to daily, but if not on a weekly basis, I really do try to do that. And just praying God's will would be done in your lives. God would bless you and your children and your family and anyone that's associated with you. But pray that God would continue to do a great work here. I know he's going to. I really believe that. I really believe that. And you may call me crazy if you want, but I believe it. I really do. And I know you folks are so on board with this, and your faithfulness proves that. All right? Anyways, hope you have a good week this week. I'll be praying for you. Lord willing, bring us back on Wednesday evening and tomorrow evening if you're with our Bible Institute. Okay? All right. Lord, thank you for this evening. Again, for an opportunity to share your word. I do count it a great privilege, Lord, and I realize that these folks could stay home and they could listen to it online. They can listen to anybody online tonight, really, who they choose, but they've decided to be faithful and obedient to the Word of God and be in the house of God, and I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we go our separate ways this evening. I thank you again for another day in your house. I know it's difficult sometimes to get to church. I know we're tired. But to know tonight, we lay our head on our pillows, that we were where we were supposed to be. We did what we were supposed to do, God. And you can't beat that. I mean, that's where you want us to be, Lord. And we can lay down in peace tonight. And I pray for those that couldn't be here today. I know many are sick, or several are sick, I should say. Others are having to deal with some other things. And we pray for them. Thank you for your grace. Bless us now. Guide our steps this week. Protect us in all for your name and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.